Father, help us really enjoy looking at your word today. Help us to be people who think seriously about the words that we say, that we speak to others in every circumstance in life, especially amongst our own church family. Obviously, James is writing at a time where tensions were spilling over into the church, and that was really resulting in angry words to each other, putting each other down, just an awful spirit that was permeating the church through words. And pray that we would use our tongues in a way that encourages and builds people up, doesn't cut people down. Help us to enjoy looking at your word this morning, we pray. Amen. The antidote to fiery tongues. So there's also a brief outline inside the notice sheet just to let you know where I'm going. It might seem like a strange thing to admit, but I love fire. Well, I did when I was a kid. In the house that my dad built in New Zealand was a cupboard next to the stairs where mum kept the matches out of harm's way. But by the age of two, I'd worked out how to climb the stairs, squeeze through the railings, climb on top of the cupboard, which is where mum discovered me sitting on the edge, lighting the matches one by one and dropping them into a basket of dirty laundry below. My love of fire only increased when we moved to Australia. I quickly discovered that matchbox cars are a lot more exciting, not only when they're going fast, but when they're on fire. Toy soldiers, you really can't recreate a realistic battlefront without lighter fluid. And Star Wars figures, lawnmower petrol really brings the galaxy to life. Computer games have nothing on this. I had mushroom clouds going off in my backyard. When they make a PlayStation that singes your eyebrows, let me know. But seriously, don't try any of these things at home. I was a very foolish child, which is even more obvious when I tell you that our house backed onto miles and miles of dry Australian bushland just waiting for a fool like me. I never caused a bushfire. That wasn't me. It's the back of our place. That wasn't me, I promise. But even the smallest flame in the hands of a fool is a very dangerous thing. And in James chapter 3, James describes our tongues as very dangerous things when we use them foolishly. Something so small, but with the potential to cause a huge amount of damage. Our tongues can be a powerful tool for good, but also for evil. And what James wants us to understand today is that even though our tongues are very small, your tongue and the words that come out of your mouth can shape the whole direction of your life. The way you use your tongue will determine whether your life has a positive influence on those around you or whether you leave a trail of destruction. Let's hear what James has to say about this, starting from verse 3. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. And it's obvious what James is saying here. Our tongue is something so small and seemingly insignificant, like the bit in a horse's mouth or the rudder of a great ship. I think about the rudder on a 737, just a small part. But our tongue, even though it's so small, can change the direction of our whole lives. Our words can have an enormous impact. And when we don't control our tongues, our words can destroy. Our words can cut down. Our words can not only cripple our own lives, but the lives of those around us. Let's keep reading from the second half of verse 5. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Have you ever thought about your tongue like that? A fiery world of evil inflamed by hell itself. But what causes the most pain? What causes us the most hurt? And how do we hurt others most deeply? Isn't it the words that come out of our mouths? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. Reckless words pierce like a sword. There isn't one of us here who hasn't said things we regret, even hurting the people we love the most. And there wouldn't be a single person here who hasn't been terribly hurt by the words of another person, maybe even someone very close to you. Growing up in a family of five children, I know what it's like to have hurtful words said to you. We weren't a particularly happy family. Our parents were always having a go at each other, and we learnt from them. We learnt from the best. And my oldest sister, Elizabeth, copped it the worst. We called her names, we called her fat, recording her angry responses to our name calling onto a tape recorder so we could play it back to her again and again. I wasn't the worst offender because, of course, I was out the back lighting fires. I'm painting a great picture of my family, aren't I? But we were vicious and she never got over it. The guy who made up that saying, sticks and stones will break your bones, but names will never hurt you, didn't know what he was on about. Throw a stone or break my bones any day and I will heal. But a hurtful word? That sort of thing can take years to recover, maybe even a lifetime. That's something you may know all too well. But James isn't finished yet. Not only is it a powerful tool for evil, but our tongue is something that in our own strength we simply can't control. Let's have a look at verses 7 to 10. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. We can control animals, but taming the tongue is completely beyond us. I once went on a business trip to San Diego in the United States. I didn't do much business, but I did visit San Diego Zoo and SeaWorld. And easily the highlight of the trip, again nothing to do with the IT conference I was supposed to be attending, was Shamu, the killer whale at SeaWorld. Shamu is, oh, is that how you say it? Shamu is huge. It's a powerful creature, dangerous in the wild. And yet this small man in a wetsuit would ride this killer whale's back, even stand on its mouth as it jumped completely out of the water. Incredible. We can tame Shamu, but we can't tame our tongues. No matter how hard we try on our own, our tongues are something we can never control, a restless evil full of deadly poison. In fact, Shamu actually proved to be a little bit more like our tongues. They don't have those shows anymore, of course. The temptation was too great for the whale one day, and that little man in a wetsuit, too tasty to... So they don't do that anymore. But anyway, and the words that come out of our mouths show our true nature. Let's read from verse 9. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. The Christians in James's church were in Jerusalem were saying they love God. They were praising God. But we did it. Grow conference yesterday. The next minute they were slandering and cursing people and saying things behind people's backs. And James wants them to know that this just isn't right. You can't say you love God and then say dreadful things about somebody else, about another human being who God has made, who's important to God, who's made in God's image. And what James desperately wants us to understand today is that the words we say show clearly what you're really like and who you belong to. What comes out of your mouth shows the real you. Our tongues and our words reveal what's going on in our very hearts, what's going on in the inside and whether or not we're in a true relationship with God at all. In 2001, my mum was diagnosed with advanced breast cancer. Mum had known there was something wrong, but had kept it to herself and refused to go to the doctor. Notice Mum is covering her arm there. It's because she didn't want to know that her hand was swollen. But slowly the signs became obvious. A puffy left arm and other signs indicated that something was seriously wrong deep inside. So we finally forced her to go to a doctor who quickly started her on chemotherapy program at Westmead Hospital. We also went to a Chinese doctor in a dingy little arcade near Blacktown Station, a man who specialised in alternative Chinese medicines. And as we sat there in his small room, he asked Mum to hold an electrical device in her right hand and then touch specific points on her left hand, pressure points that when touched could show you exactly what was going on deep inside her body. He was the first doctor who was able to tell us exactly what was going on deep inside and how serious the situation was. He told Mum the exact condition of every organ in her body and gave the analysis. You've only got a few months to live at best. It was shocking news, and unfortunately it was a very accurate diagnosis. Even more serious are the words that come out of our mouths, because our tongue is a barometer. Our words are an accurate test of what's going on deep inside and whether or not we're in a relationship with God at all. Jesus said the same thing in Matthew chapter 12, "For out of the overflow of the heart, from what's in your heart, the mouth speaks." What comes out of your mouth is a true and accurate indicator of what's going on at the very core of your being. From verse 11, "Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." What's James asking? Should someone who says they love God say horrible things about another person? No. The two simply don't go together. So if we can't tame it, and if it's the cause of so many problems in our lives, then what's the antidote? Well, James again gives us the solution. The only way to control our tongue is to be changed from the inside by God. We need wisdom from God. Our very hearts need to be cleansed and healed by God. We need God's help, God's healing hand. Because the evil that comes out of us when we speak doesn't come from God at all. Verse 15, "Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." When we don't control our tongues but let them loose on others, when we cut people down and demean them to make ourselves look good, then we show who we really belong to and where we're heading. But verse 17, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure and peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." We can't change our tongues. We can ask Jesus to be our Lord and start letting him control our lives and our tongues as well. His Spirit will begin changing you from the inside out. Begin to change the very words that come out of our mouths. That's what happens when you accept Jesus and begin living his way. Instead of filthy language, pure words. Instead of hurtful words, healing words. Instead of fights and quarrels, words of peace. Instead of rebellious words, humble words. And instead of a life of self-centeredness, will come a life of mercy and love for other people. Verse 18. "Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness." Instead of tongues and words that blaze a trail of destruction and broken relationships, as you are slowly changed by Christ and the Word of God, your life will begin to have a very positive and healing effect on those around you. Words are powerful. The Bible begins by introducing us to the God who speaks. When God opens his mouth, big things happen. Positive things happen. Everything is spoken into existence. Let there be light. When God comes to us in human form, it's no surprise that all creation obeys his every word. In the midst of a storm, be still. A 12-year-old girl lies deceased. Talitha kum. Little girl, get up. When Jesus was slandered and mocked and ridiculed, though Jesus was oppressed and afflicted, he did not open his mouth. As a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. And James opens this chapter, verses 1 and 2, by warning us that God will call us to account for the words that we say. And those who speak in church need to take this even more seriously. As Bible teachers and church for kids leaders and home group leaders, we have an even greater responsibility for being reliable messengers of God's words, living them out in our own lives, to not be frauds ourselves. Just as Jesus warned us that one day we'll be called to account for every careless word ever spoken, our words will be the basis of God's judgment on the last day. But the promise of the cross is that Jesus died for every wrong word our tongues have ever uttered. It means that when we receive Jesus and his death for our sin, instead of facing an eternity of judgment, we can look forward to an eternity of God's love and God's grace. All the hurtful things we've ever said have been paid for at the cross. All the hurtful things we've ever said. And the moment we believe, by his Spirit, God begins transforming us from the inside out to be more like Jesus. Peacemakers, not slanderers. If you have a broken relationship with God, if you know that you need the forgiveness that he's offering you today, don't walk away from this opportunity. Are the words that you say about others a clear indication that you need God's forgiveness? Why not turn to Jesus, accept his death for your sin, and allow him to save and transform you? If you already know you're a Christian, but you struggle to live God's way, we all say the wrong things at times. None of us ever perfectly control our tongues in this life. It is difficult. But God's grace is always available to us, to always forgive us for what we say, train us in righteousness so that our words no longer tear people down but build them up, no longer slander others but praise God, no longer boast about ourselves but boast about Jesus, speaking the very words of God, the powerful words of the gospel into people's lives so that they might know the transforming power of Jesus too and be moved from judgment to salvation. Let's pray. Dear God, forgive us for the way that we have spoken. Forgive us for every demeaning and slandering and behind people's backs awfulness that has come out of our mouths. Forgive us, Lord. Please forgive us. We pray you would change us and renew our hearts. Help us to see ourselves as sinners loved by you, that we might be humbled and broken and now love each other as you have loved us. Help us to now only speak words that are loving, that build people up. Help us to work at this, dear Lord, that positively affirm people, that comment on the good in another people's life, not bring them down for the little bits of bad that we see in them. Help us to get that log out of our own eye before we pick on the splinter in someone else's. And help us to praise you, our God, that our praises and our words about others align because Jesus is our Lord. Help us to now use our words to tell others about the transforming power of Jesus and the good news. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our final song.